I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 431. It's like Sailor Moon, except for the copyright infringement part.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey.
How was your week?
It was hell.
Aww.
But that's okay, because this week, I ain't gotta go to work.
Woo! Oh, vacation.
All I ever wanted. Vacation, I'm gonna get away.
Aww. It's better when you sing it. It's better when you sing it, though.
I know. But
just saying.
I figured I would calm down with the vocals and just talk to people this week.
Oh, it's funny that you say that like that. All right, so anyway, because there's all kinds of fun clip show goodness pending.
Yeah, I know, and I can only imagine what this clip show is going to have in it.
No, you can't.
I know I can't.
There's so much that we cut out and don't put into shows.
Yes, I'm aware that there's a lot of shit we cut out, and there's a lot of stuff that should never cross the ear paths of our listeners.
But it does!
It should never cross the threshold of my mouth, let alone enter a device to record it for the rest of history and time.
But we record it every week, and so we have, like, you know, almost a decade's worth of stuff that we have cut out from shows.
I'm surprised we haven't done a clip show of the shit Panda says.
Oh, I'm sure it's coming.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, really, pretty much every clip show that we do basically
is shit Panda says.
It's just specified by topic. But this is not a clip show. This is a regular show. And we have a few things to talk about this week. One thing that I want to talk about is, actually two things. Well, no, really three things. Let me start with the first thing.
Okay.
The Star Wars Celebration went off this week, and I'm so upset that I didn't get to go, because I really, really wish that I'd gone. Every year, I think, you know, this is going to be the year that I get to go to, like, a fun con.
Whoa! I don't know any con that we go to that are not fun.
No. Did you hear the rest of my sentence?
No,
that's
I
a
didn't,
fun con just for me, like not to be covered on ESH, but just to go to a con to be a con goer, right?
So Ninja gets to drop the Ninja Sister. She just gets to be Rochelle, and she gets to go be a nerd for three.
Right, as opposed to bringing my business cards and networking and covering things for the website. But actually, like, it's been a while since I've just been able to, like, nerd out at a con. And, like, Star Wars Celebration definitely, like, would be my nerd out at a con
I mean, I've been, like, seeing a lot of posts from the DCD because I'm friends with him on Facebook. And, like, he seems to be having a chill time.
Uh-huh.
Crixley from, like, Geekin, like, she's just been dominating there. And I'm like, wow.
That name is drop. Like, all right, well, if we're name dropping, you know, Stone Chin, who I'm friends with on Facebook, is also at Star Wars. So
go.
Name drop. Make that a hashtag. Let's get that trending. But yeah, we have a bunch of friends that are at Star Wars Celebration this year. And, like, as I keep seeing different things in my feed and some of the announcements, you know, The Force Awakens, the new trailer was premiered at Celebration. And it really, really looks good. Like, the first trailer for Force Awakens, I was like, all right, yep, it's Star Wars. Looks good. Looks like JJ hasn't messed up too many things. Lightsabers still sound lightsabery, so we're good. We're good. But the new trailer that they released during Celebration, very much, like, when it dropped, almost my entire Facebook feed was nothing but people reacting to the trailer with, like, childlike giddy glee.
I'm glad you just said that, because I was like, responding positively or negatively?
Very, very positively. Like, Crix posted a photo of her teary-eyed because she was so happy about the trailer. Like, it really does. If you're a Star Wars nerd, the second trailer definitely makes you feel like, okay, this kind of really feels like my Star Wars. It basically ends with Chewbacca and old Han Solo.
Right, because he's older now.
Yep.
He can't stay hot and young forever.
Exactly. Inside the Millennium Falcon, and it's doing its thing, and with the most perfect Han Solo shit-eating grin on his face, Harrison Ford goes, "Chewie, we're home." And you're just like, yes! Yes, you are! Oh my god! Nerd boner! And I'm not, you know, too ashamed to say that I popped many nerd boner during the trailer. It definitely has all the pieces in it that feel like a great Star Wars movie. And then to kind of bookend that, you had the premiere of the new promo for the new season of the animated Rebels series that's on Disney XD.
XD!
Jump off. And that looks really good. And then EA and DICE drop the trailer for Star Wars Battlefront, and
of course,
oh my god, have you seen that thing?
I have seen people with big grins over it, but I didn't.
It looks like a damn movie. It doesn't look like a game.
We're in that area of technology now that we have the advancements to make games look like movies.
It's not about the game looking like a movie. It's about, it looks like the Star Wars movie, and so I am now playing the Star Wars movie. Okay, that's the big deal. Not that the game quality looks like a movie, because we already kind of experienced that with things like Beyond Two Souls and The Last of Us, which I've been revisiting a lot lately in talking with people about how far games have advanced. When you think of, like, for me, probably The Last of Us is going to be one of my top five games ever, because it emotionally drew you in so much.
Oh.
You know, so I've been revisiting it lately when talking with people about, you know, the evolution of games and how far we've come, you know, thinking from
I've Kong actually done to, like, something quite similar to you. I mean, not that I've gone back to Last of Us or Beyond Two Souls, but a friend of mine just recently moved, and he doesn't have a PS3. And currently I'm living in my PS4 land, and my PS3 is just kind of sitting there collecting dust. So for a temporary period, I'm letting him use my PS3. I told him to make his own account and stuff, and I gave him all my games, and the first thing he's picked up is Last of Us. And I'm like, oh, my, it takes me back, bro.
Well, and that's, like, really the top echelon when you talk about jumping into any platform or jumping into any game. Like, Last of Us sets a really high bar that I think now...
You know, I kind of hope he doesn't play wet after Last of Us, because yeah, he'll be sorely disappointed.
But I do think that Last of Us sets a bar that is very high, that I think a lot of people now rate games by and use as an edge, and that's why you see so many games that are getting, you know, fives and sixes or getting panned as not being really deep games or really good games, because they're not Last of Us. They're not that emotionally engaging. They're not that visually engaging. They're not telling a story as well. Like, if you think of some games that came out recently, and one of the lines that I was talking about with this gentleman that I ended up having this really long dissertation on video games with, which started with the question of, is Destiny really a bad game? And I was like, whoa.
No. Who said this?
So, I know, right? I was like, pump your brakes. Don't listen to the internet. Okay, let's back up.
Well, since you sat there and you segued to Destiny, I was talking to somebody about the upcoming DLC that we know is already
going to be House of Wolves!
and we're going deep in the Fallen, but we're not getting a raid with it.
Because, and here's the thing, I think that they're holding off on putting out a raid
so that they can nickel and dime us for every raid?
No. Knowing that people are going to pay for them? They're not nickel and diming for every raid. They already, when the game was announced, they said that they were going to have two major DLC packs and then a major update pack. Okay, and the major update pack is probably the one that's going to get the raid. Now, think about this. The game released with a raid, and then they released, which got cheesed the hell out of, and they patched like, patched like four times to try and keep people from cheesing it, and they still found ways to cheese it. Then they released a new DLC pack, completely changed their, weapon upgrade structure, which was stupid, by the way, the way they changed their structure. So then they had to release other updates to fix it. Like, they've been doing a lot of patching, and I think the team probably went, okay, look, we could rush this raid out right now, knowing that we have exploits in it, that people are going to exploit and aren't going to have fun and isn't our vision, or we can release this pack without the raid and really fine-tune and make the raid that we really want and put it out with the big update. So they're holding the raid for the big update. And I'm actually not mad about that. Because I'll be honest with you, I really don't want a subpar raid. And if they make enough missions and add on enough depth, I don't think anybody's going to miss it. Like, people are still having a hard time getting good enough crews together to beat Crota on hard mode to get the weapons that they want and the buffs that they want. So there's plenty still going on with Crota. You still have a chunk of people that are new to the platform, which they haven't run the first raid to begin with. So they haven't done oracles and things like that, or explored and gotten all of the chests in the first raid. So I'm not really missing the raid, especially if they're going to add on, it looks like another Crucible piece. They're also going to add on another strike playlist.
Like a horde mode thing, which exactly. is kind of interesting.
You know, so I think they're adding enough that people aren't actually going to miss the raid. And it makes more sense to put the raid in the big update, because that's when they'll raise the level cap. Like, it makes sense to raise the level cap if you're going to add the raid. And if they're not adding the raid on this time, then I think leaving the cap at 32 makes sense. Because remember, not everybody that's playing Destiny has been playing Destiny since launch. So you're going to have a bunch of people that come in with this DLC pack that are going to end up probably getting the bundle that comes with both DLC 1 and 2. And they'll be new to the game. So they've got a whole lot of grinding to do. So I'm okay with it. I think that they're being smart about it, frankly. And it gives them more time to really knock us out with an amazing raid. You know, because Crota on hard mode was taxing, but not because the raid was very different. It was because they buffed it and OP'd Crota, which is what made it difficult. Not that you had to change your communication style or your play style. It was, hey, guess what? Crota's OP now, so it's basically luck of the draw and your tenacity that allow you to get through Crota this go-round. Hope you have a Galahorn.
Nope, I don't have a Galahorn.
I need to go back and run the original raid like a few more times, because that's basically one of the only ways you can get the Galahorn.
It's a random drop that you get from
exactly. And RNGesus does not love me right now. Probably because I haven't played Destiny in like 3 weeks.
Actually, I'm sure if you go back now, you'll probably get like 8 purples.
I probably will, and I need to, because I haven't finished boosting my Titan. I have a level 30 Titan that has like 4 dots on one of my subclasses filled in. Like, the rest of the subclasses I haven't even remotely made. And it's my striker class, too. So I really need to, like...
You need to get on that, bro.
I need to get on that. Gee, I wonder if there's anybody I could grind strikes with to help me do that. Who said they would help me do that?
Are you looking at me?
I mean, I might be tossing aspersions in your general direction.
I thought I felt some aspersions. That's why I inquired.
Because I gotta finish my Titan off definitely before House of Wolves drops.
Sorry.
I know, dirty mind. But
dirty mind all the time.
But I'm very happy, actually, that they're not dropping a raid in this one, because I don't want the DLC and the updates to just feel like, here's 3 new missions, and a new planet, and a raid. And everyone to go like, oh, that's it? Like, there's,
I wonder what new planet we're going to get.
Yeah.
Is it Saturn?
I don't know.
Is it Uranus?
I hope it's not Uranus.
I hope it's Uranus.
I knew you would. So, but I'm very interested to see, like, what's going to happen with the Queen and that story, because I do think the Crota stuff is definitely a very, very solid add-on for Destiny. I liked the payback angle of it with Eris. I thought that it took too long to level up Eris
missions. They should have varied her missions, like, in points, so that you could rack up more, like they did with the original bounties and stuff, where, like, some were, like, 75 and some were 100.
Yeah.
Depending on their difficulty, but the fact that they made them all the exact same number...
It just turned it into, like, a nasty grind. So
grueling.
So I'm hopeful that with the stuff that you'll end up doing for the Queen and going up against the Fallen, that that'll feel a little bit more balanced. But the teaser trailer looked really good, so I'm definitely getting back up on that Destiny stuff. I'll probably play when we finish the podcast and do some things for my poor Titan before going back to the main thing that I was going to talk about this week. But coming back and finishing the thought from this tangent, I really, 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 really want to go to Star Wars Celebration as, like, just a nerd one time. At least just once.
I want to go to Dragon Con.
But, like, between...
The best fun happens at Dragon Con.
Between being able to pick up some soundtracks on vinyl, that would be dope as hell. Not to mention just being able to take some pictures with some stormtroopers. That would be awesome.
See, I want to take pictures with stormtroopers, but, like, I'd want it to be, like, a video where we're walking through, like, a pathway, and one of them is obviously too tall, so he hits his head, because that happened in one of the original cuts.
Yes.
And, like, it's such a simple thing that if you're not paying attention to it, you wouldn't see it. But it's, like, they're supposed to all be the same size, right? So that guy, should not have happened in this universe, but... It happens.
It didn't. Because not everyone that is in the core is a clone.
Right.
That's the explanation there.
Oh, they covered their ass. Because I was like, wait a minute. But oh well. It was funny. I remember catching that in high school. And like, it was the most hilarious thing on the planet.
Yeah. So, Star Wars Celebration. Star Wars geekdom. The verse looks real strong right now. Between Rebels on XD, the new trailer for Force Awakens looks really good. I might actually see it in the theater. I was really skeptical. Like, not that I doubt J.J. Abrams, but I do doubt him. Like, he usually is good for, like, a one-and-done and prolonged things, kind of. I think he just basically gets bored, and so they become lackluster. But right now... Force Awakens, everything that I've seen looks really good. I'm probably going to end up going to see it in the theater, which originally I didn't think I was going to do. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the original cuts of the original movies coming to Blu-ray. Can't wait for that stuff to drop. Because I am not about Jabba the Hutt walking, so I'm glad that Disney is going to release the original movies in their original form on Blu-ray. And I believe digital as well, so when that cut happens, I'm going to buy the original three, because I don't give a shit about 1, 2, or 3.
Wait, what?
I don't give a shit about 1, 2, or 3.
What?
The only Star Wars movies I give a shit about are 4, 5, and 6.
Sorry, I was brought up on 4, 5, and 6. I don't believe 1, 2, and 3 exist.
That's what I just said.
No. No.
I don't give a shit about 1, 2, or 3.
But you're Phantom acknowledging Menace. Them. I was going, what? Because I'm not acknowledging them.
No, you have to acknowledge that they exist.
No, because that means I have to acknowledge that a certain sidekick that says his name over and over again exists.
He does exist, okay? No. You can't, be in the fandom, you can't just completely ignore part of it. You can just condemn it to a corner and say, bad.
Bad, Jar Jar.
Bad.
Bad.
Okay?
Fine.
But it does exist. And it stays in the corner. It does not get my money.
Okay.
4, 5, and 6 get my money. Alrighty. So I'm looking forward to those guys coming out because I have missed them. I have missed them terribly. So fandom looks really strong. But what I'm really excited to talk about this week
are these nuts.
No, not those nuts.
Oh.
I don't want to talk about your nuts. That's not my responsibility. I don't have intimate knowledge of your nuts, nor do I want intimate knowledge of your nuts.
I hoard my nuts for the summer.
Well, I gird my loins. You hoard your nuts.
Gird your loins.
Everybody has a thing, and we're all a little bit different.
Yep, you're right.
But what I do want to talk about is Mortal Kombat X.
I'm glad you can talk about it, because I can only talk about it from what I've seen, because I have not had the ability to play it yet.
So my budget is tight. And
yours?
Yeah. And I had forgot that at E3, I pre-ordered Mortal Kombat X, because I was so impressed with it at E3, as you recall.
Yes.
That I pre-ordered it. Because you know that happens for me sometimes? I'm at E3. I'm checking stuff out. I'm like, hey.
You're good. You've been fed. You're not hangry.
Yeah. No hangriness going on. I've been fed. I've had something to drink. I've played a demo. Demo is awesome. I've seen some behind closed doors things. Interviews went well. And I'm feeling the vibe. I'm right. I'm on the hype train.
That's all they have to do at that point. Be like, hey, do you want to pre-order now?
And the answer is typically yes.
Where they're like, give me.
Okay, that's what happened.
Did it at PAX East to get into the beta for Timelines.
Okay.
Like, you were so impressed.
I was like, poing.
Yep.
Yes. Look, I pre-ordered Rock Band.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that.
Okay, I'm mad psyched about that. Okay, you know I kickstarted Amplitude. Mad excited for that. Okay, so out of E3, as you will recall, when we were at the media briefings, when they announced the new Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, I, in the audience, stopped my live tweet of the event to pre-order both consoles. So when I get on the hype train, I really get on the hype train
choo,
and I
choo,
commit.
Motherfucker, choo-choo!
Exactly. And I was definitely on the Mortal Kombat X hype train. Now, if you guys have been listeners of the podcast before, have been around for a while, you know that I love fighting games. Like, I really pretty much cut my teeth and became a staunch gamer because of Mortal Kombat. I coerced very strongly Pandalicious into asking for a Sega Genesis system in Mortal Kombat for her birthday. Yep. Because I wanted to play it, and I'd just gotten a SNES for my birthday, so I couldn't ask for another console that year.
Yep.
And so it took much coercion and promises of candy, allowances, and doing of chores, but she did, and we got it.
Yep.
So the first major fighting game that Pan and I ever played together was Mortal Kombat on the Genesis system.
Yep, and the second came Samurai Showdown.
Yep, for you and I. Yep. I was real heavy into Street Fighter until Mortal Kombat came up. And I was like, I gotta play this.
My god, the blood graphics are so real.
Like, it looks like people.
So not real.
I know, right? You're like, it looks like people. This is amazing. And so we did. We played the hell out of Mortal Kombat, by the way.
Oh, man. Yes,
we were trying to find ways to knock people off of platforms to find all the hidden fatalities.
We had house rules. No jumping in the corner.
Yeah.
No running out the clock.
No running out the clock. No corners. We call corners. And if you got called with corners.
Corner, I remember.
Yep. And if you got called on corners, you got 3 free hits.
Yep. Though I think at that point, when we were playing like that, I don't think we had established I don't think we had been switching who was player one and player two.
No, you were always player two.
I was still having to learn all the moves backwards.
Yeah.
Which is fine if you're player two, but then all of a sudden when she would let me switch, I'm like, I don't know what the moves are.
And then I'd be like, ha ha, gotcha! Because it's everything the other way. So, So, needless to say, I've been a fan of the Mortal Kombat series since V1. And where they lost me was MK versus DC.
Yes.
Like, right around there. It's where things got...
I thought...
It was a cool concept, but...
The concept had a decent leg. And just they didn't know how to, like, they decided to put a stiletto heel on it, and then decided to try to be Sailor Senshi, and they just didn't know how to do that. So the game looked okay, but it obviously did not perform up to the expectations that we were all expecting to come out.
Well, the gameplay was okay, but it wasn't great. The visuals were solid, but it took all the nuts out of Mortal Kombat. Like, Mortal Kombat is supposed to be gory, brutal, and not, you know, realistic fighting. If you want...
It was supposed to be the alternative to Street Fighter.
What's
the other one?
So, you basically have everything from super realistic, which is your Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, it's grapple and punch and kick and put it in combinations. There's no superpowers or things like that. Then you start going up the stream with things like Street Fighter, Tekken, your King of Fighters, those guys. Then you get into your Dead or Alive, which is... based in very real fighting, but we're going to throw a little bit of, we're going to throw a lot of tits and ass at you as well. Into your Soul Calibers.
Better like volleyball.
Into your, you know, Soul Calibers, which are, yes, there are some superpowers, but really it's all about timing and blocking as much as picking off your combos. Into your just combo killers, which are your KIs. And frankly, what Mortal Kombat should be. And, you know, the gamut of fighters is very, very wide, and which I love about it. You know, because sometimes I really want to get into, all right, let me see if I can counter really well, and so I'll play a Virtua Fighter or I'll play a Soul Calibur, which are still gorgeous games, but are very much about that focused gameplay on those elements. And then there's the, I just want to, like, do some really outrageous, like, damage and almost be a brawler. And that's kind of where KI comes in for me. And then you have your Mortal Kombats, which are just supposed to be... to me, Mortal Kombat should be a thing where, like, you finish a battle and you're like, damn! Like, it should be that, you know, couch play thing where... you know, you're not shit-talking your friend, but you're both congratulating each other on, like, that ridiculous combo that you pulled off and somehow did that, like, sick fatality. Exactly. Like, that's, to me, what Mortal Kombat should be. That, and then with some levity in the middle. And for a while, it really got away from that. And then the Netherrealm team, I should say... I think really redeemed themselves with Injustice: Gods Among Us.
Yes.
And Injustice is probably one of my favorite fighting games of all time. It's just super balanced. It's the right kind of grit, even with, you know, the DC characters. You know, to have Superman lose his shit, and I'm still...
Because you know eventually the man's gonna lose his shit.
Like, I am still, to this day, when I start talking about Injustice, I flash to that moment of Superman killing Shazam, and I'm just like, that's fucked up, man!
Right.
And that's why Batman had to have a plan to take him down! For when that kind of shit happens! You know, and it really, really runs well. It's a great balanced fighter. And so I had a lot of hopes for the team to really bring Mortal Kombat back in that way. And they did. So if you liked how Injustice feels and ran, you're going to love Mortal Kombat X because it feels like Injustice. So everything's running at 1080p, 60 frames a second. So it's super crisp, super fast. At times, if you're a button masher, that's actually a great thing, depending upon the character that you have, maybe not so great of a thing, but, basically, we're, like, from the last Mortal Kombat game that you played, about 25, maybe 30 years down the road, Shao Kahn's been defeated,
is Sindel still alive?
So, you know, I'll be honest with you, I haven't done the OG pack yet to see. So you start with a roster of characters, and there are some that you can unlock from gameplay. There are some that you can just straight up pay to have, including a combat pack that you can buy which is like, I think like $20 or something like that. And it adds on a whole nother roster of OG characters from MK games, as well as alternative costumes.
Okay.
So basically, all the things that you've liked about every Mortal Kombat game up to now are included in this game, and the things that you don't aren't in there. So, like, the crypt is in there, so as you battle, you earn coins. Coins you can use to unlock different things like costumes, alternate fatalities, brutalities, things like that.
Fatalities. Friendship.
No babalities or friendships.
Oh my god, I love friendships.
Or at least I haven't been able to get to any friendships. I would be surprised.
Friendships. They can get rid of babalities.
I would be really surprised if friendships were in there. Because this is definitely about being brutal. The fatalities are
I saw some. Like I said, I haven't had the chance to play the game. But from what I was watching, I think I was watching somebody go through a tower, mm-hmm. which I guess is like I've never seen the structure before, so it must have happened in a Mortal Kombat game after I stopped
playing. Yeah, so towers popped up, I want to say, in like 3. And so basically, you know how before, like in 1 and in 2, you had the roster of you could play the arcade mode where you ran through 10 characters or you ran through 15 characters to complete the quote-unquote story?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was basically just a screen of, like, everybody stacked on top of each other. They turned them into towers, but that's basically what they are. And there are different towers that you can run through. So you have your traditional arcade tower, which is you play through 10 characters leading up to the ultimate bad guy. You finish the ultimate bad guy, you've completed the tower. And you get an ending, and you unlock something. Then you
have this is an actual story mode, kind of in the same vein as...
Yep. Again, picking up a big chunk of things from games that people like. There is a story mode that goes through and tells a story, which is one of the things that they did in... I can't remember the name of it.
Soul Calibur 5 did it.
Yeah, but there was a Mortal Kombat game.
Where you had to be certain characters through the story. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't pick who you were. You had to play as different characters to get...
And MK did it, too, in one of their games. I can't remember which one it was now. I kind of liked it. I remember that much. It was after... No, it was after the DC crossover.
I don't...
Anyway. So, yeah, I think it was 8. I can't remember. There's so many Mortal Kombat games, I can't keep them straight. So, then you have a survival tower, which is just unending opponents. You go as long as you can until you die, and then that's your streak. You have a test your luck. So, test your might, basically, is back. And it's a tower that has 7 battles, but the criteria change.
Oh, for each round, so... Oh!
So, you may have a round that you can't uppercut at all, and you have to get through that. And they remix them, so they change every day, and they change every hour.
Oh, so it's like a living tower.
Exactly. And the living towers do that as well. The living tower, I'm sorry, changes every hour. The test your luck one changes, I think, every day. And the living tower is longer. So the test your luck tower is 7, and every match is different. The living tower has a set of criteria for an hour, and it remixes every hour of every day.
Oh, wow, that's insane.
Yeah. So there's plenty of different modes, both for single player and co-op. You also have online. You also have this thing called factions, and this is a piece that's new in Mortal Kombat, where the moment you boot the game, it has you join a faction. And factions are global. And what happens is, as you progress in the game, you earn points, and the points are for both you as well as globally totaled for your faction. And each week, whatever faction ends up with the most points globally, everybody in that faction gets a reward. So it's anything from something cosmetic, like an embellishment for your outfit for a character, or a complete outfit for a character, enhanced ability for one of your types of play, because every character now has basically a subclass of how they fight. And you have three to choose from, being a ranged, guarded, and really kind of a brawler attack. So you can kind of mod your style of play within the character. So it adds additional moves and takes some away, depending upon which one that you pick there. So there's a lot more depth to Mortal Kombat now, still with the gore added in. So I jumped in, and it took me a hot second. Like, I decided I wasn't going to look at any move lists. I wasn't going to look at any information online. I was just going to go ahead, fire up the game, and jump into an arcade tower. So I hit the 10 tower. I played it on normal because I was like, well, you might as well give it a shot. I know I'm rusty. It's going to be bad. But, hey, whatever. I went to my go-to girl, which is Katana, because I like her ranged attacks, and she's usually pretty quick. And I gotta tell you, it took a little bit to get used to trying to play the fighter, because I don't have, right now, a fighting stick that I can use. I have not attempted to connect my Xbox 360 Mortal Kombat fighting stick to my Xbox One to see if it works. I need to see if it works, because that would be bomb if it did.
Well, you paid a lot of money for it.
So, yeah, it's a really nice tournament stick, and I'll be really upset if it doesn't work. I think that it will, actually. So I just have to try. I hope it does. I really, really hope it does. Because otherwise I gotta sell the stick. So it was very difficult for me to play the fighting game with just the regular Xbox controller. Because there are some crucial buttons that are actually mapped to a shoulder button and a trigger. And I just don't think of, whenever I'm fighting in a fighting game, of using the trigger. I know I should, but I don't. And so I was very, very limited in my moves to start, because I completely forgot that, yeah, important things are actually mapped to the left and the right trigger, and I kind of need those to execute all the throws that I want to use, and low attacks. And it is, for me, is nearly impossible to play a fighting game with an analog stick on a controller, on a handheld controller. It just, I don't have the fine control that I want. And that I get out of a joystick, so I just don't use it. So I'm straight up D-pad and buttons.
You straight up on the D.
I'm straight up on that D. Pad. But I will say that I had a great experience. Most of Melina's movements were very similar to the last MK game that I played, which was really helpful. When I played, so I was able to complete a 10-person tower on normal in about 12 and a half minutes. Oh. Which, you know, isn't bad being rusty, right? Because the last fighter that I played was Injustice, and I didn't even unlock all the characters in Injustice. I was really bad about it because Destiny happened, and I was like, whee! But I gotta say, Mortal Kombat feels really good. Like, I like the depth. I like the kind of, hey, you're going to join a faction, and your points will go to the faction as well as you. And if your faction ends up topping the charts, you know, you're going to get a random reward. So it definitely makes a community feel happen right off the bat, whether you play online real heavy or not. Which I haven't jumped into online yet because I've only played with like three characters. I like that they started putting or attempted to put like a real, real deep story behind it. So in this game, one of the characters is Jax's daughter. Another one of the characters, Cassie Cage, is the child of Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage. So Johnny and Sonya got married, had a kid, they got divorced. Their kid ended up in the service. So you've got, some really interesting pairs and matches in the game.
They clearly made it a thing between Sonya and Johnny.
I know, but you never thought like they would actually make offspring. You just thought that Cage would like bang her and be done with it, not actually marry her.
Yeah, well, he banged it, made a baby, and tried to man up, but just couldn't handle the pressure.
You know, because he's Johnny fucking Cage. But it plays really well, and it's a balanced fighter. And I never thought that I would be in a position where I'd be talking about Mortal Kombat being a balanced fighter.
I always thought, never said that in the history of this show.
Like, it's, you know, was supposed to be that over-the-top, like, obscene, completely not realistic, you know, fighter. And it's now very balanced. It's probably the best Mortal Kombat game in the series, frankly. So if you like fighters, you definitely need to give MKX a shot. It's really, really balanced. And I'm looking forward to doing some couch co-op with it because there's so many options of gameplay that you can put in to couch co-op as well, you know, and handicaps that you can do to make it easier for player two to not, you know, suck so bad when they play you. So I gotta say, definitely, if you like fighters, don't run it. Just buy it. You will not be disappointed in MKX. I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Even though I was on the hype train, because I was like, Mortal Kombat!
Choo-choo-choo-choo!
But I'm still on the hype train now after playing it, so. That's what I got.
Okay.
What you got?
I've got two things, actually, on deck to talk about today. I'll talk about the little one that's closer to what we were talking about now, and then I'll finish up with the last thing. So, Nintendo!
Nintendo! 64!
No. Not 64.
Oh.
On the 16th, we got an update to our 3DSs, but what I mean by that is the...
I should probably turn mine on.
Yeah, you probably should. For you, there's a lot of updates. For those of us who have been current, we got a new one on the 16th that gave us some new Street Pass Mi Plaza content. Some of it good, some of it not so good.
Wait. Is there more Find Me?
Let me get to that.
All right. Find Me?
So like I said, there are some new things that are yay, some things that are... okay, I wasn't really missing that, but I'm glad that you addressed it. And then some just really, why? Okay, so let me go down the list here. So if you are running your 3DS, bare minimum, you had Find Me and you had the puzzle game.
Yep.
Then we got another content update where we got Mi Forest, Flower Town, Warrior's Way, and Monster's Manor.
What? I don't have these things. That was a while ago,
so you're way behind.
I do not have those things.
You should turn on my 3DS. Each separately for about $5, or if you got them as a bundle, you got them for $15 instead of $20.
Oh, I don't buy the things.
Yeah, you have to buy them.
I did not buy them.
And I mean, obviously, with the puzzle, where you would get puzzle pieces from friends, they update new panels every once in a while, and you will get those.
Yeah.
So they update those usually around the Nintendo Direct and cons and stuff like that, just so that people are engaged and acting with
I better get my 3DS, like, in shape before E3.
Yep, because I'm giving you mine. So you can fill...
Wait, I can't manage your Find Me and my Find Me. That's a lot of street passing.
Anyway, so... If you already downloaded Mi Forest, Flower Town, Warrior's Way, and Monsters, then they were offering the new games, which are Battleground Z and Ultimate Angler, as a bundle for a limited time for about $6. Otherwise, the bundle is going to cost you about $8. So it's like a little bit of a you should move on that if you really want to.
$2.
Yeah,
make but you here's holla.
The
thing.
So I mean, the reason why I got my 3DS was for the whole Street Pass function. I wanted those puzzle pieces. Yeah. I wanted to collect people. Like, I didn't get into Flower Power and Warrior's Way and stuff until after the fact. And now those are just added bonuses. Now, mind you, I don't really give a flying fuck about Mi Force.
Okay.
It's eerily enough. I thought I was going to like that mini game, but I really don't. So I don't play it at all. But the other ones I happen to like. But anyway, in this new update, if you purchase those and you got the upgrade, you gain access to this thing called the VIP room, where you can store up to 100 Mi characters that you've encountered. So if you always bump into my character or friends of yours that, you know, you don't often see, but you want to keep them in your rotation, you can make them VIPs on your Mi, on your 3DS. So like you can see them all the time, which is kind of nice because sometimes with us, when we're at cons and stuff, like, I'll just meet millions, well, not millions, I'll meet a chunk of people and not really, I don't connect to any of them. It's not like I meet up with these people.
Right.
But, you like, just if have I randomly see my friend in the mix, I'm like, oh my god, that's what her Mi looks like. And then you never see them again because
in 10 minutes. Or like, if you check in, if somebody checks in and they have, like, a really cool Mi and you don't want to lose that, like, I can see that.
So they have that if you want to do that.
I like the VIP. That's an interesting thing. Do people get notifications when you make them a VIP?
What?
Does a person get a notification if you make them a VIP? Because that could kind of be boss.
I have not. I have yet to put anybody in my VIP yet. I just updated mine this morning.
But that would be kind of boss, though, if you think about it. Like,
you're a VIP on blah, blah, blah's 3DS.
Like after you checked in with somebody, you got a notification. You were just made a VIP by so-and-so. I'd be like, oh, that's cool.
That'd be a good way to be connected to people.
Yeah.
So along with that... Okay. They unlocked Street Pass Birthdays, which lets you celebrate the real people behind the Miis.
Oh.
So, you know, we have to put in our 3DS what our birthdays are, so why not make that a thing? So
yeah, I don't know that I like that. I don't want random-ass people to know my birthday.
I'm glad to see that you're doing something with it, but, like, if they made, like birthday somehow into a game, that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, like...
they could have done other things with it.
I think it would have been interesting if, like, your shirt color by default was chosen by your birthday.
Some people might not really...
And then you could change it later, but, like, that would have been cool, so that way you would know, like, when you saw a purple baby or purple me, you'd be like, oh, you're a February baby, too, or, oh, you're a July baby, too, without actually giving away your birthday. Because here's the thing, like, I get leery when you start tying real information to my avatar, because... Now,
I'm making an avatar because I don't want you to know my personal information.
Well, exactly. Like, there's a little bit of the anonymity that I don't want to give away. Because if my birthday is, like, out there, and it better just be the day and the month, because if it's the year, well, now somebody has my gamer tag and my birth year. It's really kind of easy to backtrack and figure out who I am and steal my identity. Like, when you think about it that way... Most of the time when you're setting up accounts for anything that you're putting real money behind, what do they ask you for? Your address, your email address, your birthday, and your name. Yeah. And now, between all of my social platforms and things like that, as soon as you know my gamer tag, I'm probably the same thing on everything. You now have my birth year, so you just have to luck into the right thing that has my name on it. And now you have a big chunk of my personal information. So maybe putting birthdays out there, not such a great thing. Or at least giving you some controls for who you allow to see your birthday.
That would be a good idea.
Or just, like, not actually put it out there at all. All
right, so let me move on. So that's something else that they've done. All
right.
Another thing that's kind of on the free side is, you know, you street pass a lot of people, and half the time you're not really looking at what they say in their chat bubbles. Like, you just want them in your Mii Plaza so then you can use them for their puzzle pieces or whatever the fuck you're going to use them for.
Yeah.
Well, now they are now giving people the function to shut off the chatter completely.
Oh, so you can just pass them through?
So you can pass through and do what you want to do.
Nice!
Now that is good for the people who do con runs and stuff, like, clearly. But at the same time, so they go and do that, but then on the customization side of things, because, you know, it wouldn't be Nintendo if they didn't do more to help you customize your Wii and make them more personable to you, now they are sending out skins to customize your chat bubbles. So now you can make it look far more personable, but that doesn't really matter, because if I shut my chat log off, I'm never going to see it. So it's a little redundant that they did that. But hey, I don't know too many people who have told me outright that they're going to do that. Like, they're going to shut off the chat options, because sometimes people will put, like, you know, codes for demos or betas in them, especially at cons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of smart to keep those open just in case, so you're not missing out on something awesome. But they're doing that. Another thing that I'm actually really surprised that they didn't do earlier is now the Street Pass games that you don't play, like in my case, Mii Force, you can now hide them so they're not on your screen when you're going to your games. So, like, you're not always having to circulate through all these games you don't play to the three games that you do.
Oh, okay.
So, to answer your question about the games, there is a Find Mii 2. If you complete Find Mii 1 completely, then you can go back and you can unlock the second version of that game. I do not think we're getting a third one, so...
I haven't finished Find Mii.
Well, then, yeah. You've got a ways to go. And
yeah.
If you want all the hats, you got to do at least, like, two or three playthroughs of each. for that, and I told myself after the first sets I wasn't going to.
Yeah, I've only done one playthrough, so I need to do
now. You can take games that you aren't playing, and you can put them in your vault. They don't get you don't get rid of them. They're just not visibly there.
No, that's smart.
Out of your vault, which is kind of nice. You won't get reminders that you haven't played them, which can be annoying if you know, like me, they're always telling you, "Oh, you didn't play." You know. Me Force, and I'm like, of course I didn't, because I don't like it. But I bought it.
No me gusta.
It was part of the bundle, and it was cheaper that way than buying the three games I did want. Yeah. Also, in the new update, they're allowing you to rearrange your Street Pass icons. Granted, that's not a big, big thing, but I'm sure for some people who are very anal about what they want to have access to right off the bat, this is a good thing. I mean, you can put things in alphabetical order if you have that compulsion. Not them telling you not to do it, but you now have the ability to put them however the fuck you want to put them. So thank you, Nintendo, for that. I know I already talked about the speech balloons. They look a little more, because I'm looking at some of the screenshots that I got of them, and some of them will look really, really wacky and crazy, which, I mean, it's Nintendo. What do they have to lose?
Money.
Well, yeah, but they're not gonna.
They're I not. Mean... They might, though.
But it's really, like, shutting off the chat options to get through to your Mii Plaza, I think, is probably the best thing to come out of it. I have yet to buy the two new games. But like I said, one's Battleground Z, which you fight zombies, which I'm totally going to end up buying.
Yeah, I probably am not going to get.
That's going to happen.
I have some updating to do, evidently, on my 3DS.
You do. And the second one was the Ultimate Angler, where you go fishing. I probably will not buy that one, only because I've never gone fishing in real life, and I've probably
the only fishing that you've done is in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, what? I've never played Animal Crossing.
You played Animal Crossing on my GameCube.
No, maybe like once or twice, but like I've fished sometimes in like Dark Cloud. I had to fish. I know I fished a little bit in the four Zelda games I've probably played over the span of my life. But, like, I don't go for... I've never gone back, like, after. It's like, oh, you can just go back and fish and whatever. I've never just done that. I've never found that overly enjoyable. So be it. But apparently another thing that we're going to end up getting is... do you know anything about Plaza tickets, Ninja?
Nope.
Okay, well then, yeah, you have some updating to do. So, to unlock some of the hats and stuff that you didn't get in Find Me and wherever else you can earn them, now you can get Plaza tickets, which will allow you to, if you do certain achievements, you'll get them, and you'll be able to go and buy outfits for your Mii or hats for your Mii and blah. And now they're just going to throw tickets at you, because they're going to throw more customizable things for you to get. So, of course, they want to make it easy for you to rack up on that. But at the end of the day, I'm glad to see that they're trying to find ways to broaden what the 3DS is supposed to be capable of doing besides, you know, obviously games. I like that they're trying to build games into the hardware so that you're not always peddling 3 or 4 or 5 cases of your games at all times. And I know that's kind of what they kind of want you to be doing anyway, but I'm glad. I'm glad that they're giving me something new and fresh to obsess about when I go to PAX East next year.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. Because, I mean, I love me my flower town, but there's only so many times I can get excited about putting a seed in a pot and watching 10 straight. Like, there's only so much excitement one can build up for that. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. And then the last one, more on the anime tip than the game tip. I've been watching a series, and I'm pretty much done with it. And
done with it like you don't like it, or done with it like I've actually run all of it?
She finished it. It was initially a manga first, but I have not had a chance to look to see if I can even find the mangas to read them to see if there's any bit of a difference. But I have done some research to see that they did make a game after the anime came out. Then when I tell you the story, you'll see exactly why they thought this would be the best opportunity for a game. So your lead character is this boy. His name's Raku, and he is the air quote heir apparent to this Yakuza faction. And
wait, what series are you talking about?
I'm talking about Nisekoi. Have you watched it?
I think I have. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. So Raku is the heir apparent of this Yakuza faction. He's got no... He personally has no intentions of taking over the Yakuza. Like, he wants to be a civil servant. He cooks all the time. Like, he's just not about that life, even though, like, he's around...
He's supposed to be about that life. Yep. Right.
And, like, he's just going about his life, and his father seems pretty cool with him just doing whatever, because I'm sure he knows eventually he's going to have that talk with his son, but he's like, the son's his son, whatever, I'll get to it when it becomes time. And Raku's got this crush on this girl named Onodera, who's, like, this cute, demure girl. She's always very sweet. She's always smiling. Like, he's got this thing for her. However, Raku, when he was, like, 5 or 6 years old, made this promise. And the minute that I heard promise, it brought me right back to freaking Love, Hina. And, like, then I'm like, oh, God, he made a promise to go to Tokyo U with this girl. And it's, like, not necessarily, but he made... Raku makes this promise to this girl in his memories who he doesn't remember what her name is, and he doesn't remember what she looks like, but she gave him this locket, and she's like, you have this locket and I have this key, and when we reunite we'll show each other and we'll get married. And like, and he's holding onto this locket for dear life. Like, he is treasuring it in a way that,
yeah, I've watched this one, go ahead. Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, one day he's walking to school. And, you know, the Yakuza guys who, like, bring him in, bodyguard him, they're like, yeah, we have some rival gangsters in the city, so you might want to keep an eye on your back and stuff while you're at school, just to be on the safe side, because, like, it's been getting really aggravated. And he's on his way to school, and he's holding this locket, and he's reminiscing about it, and he sees something moving across, like, on the other side of this fence, and, like, this figure comes jumping over, and he realizes that it's a girl, and she's like about to knee drop him in the face, and in fact does like knee kick him in the face, which causes him to drop his locket. And she's, you know, she apologizes, but she runs off. She doesn't really stick around, and he's just like, I don't know what happened, but whatever. But he finds out that this girl, who at this point he realizes has now made him lose his locket, is now transferring into his class, and her name is, and I'm going to butcher it because I often do, Chitoge, I think it's called. I think it's something like that. Kisaragi or
Yep, Kisaragi.
Yeah. Or Kisaki. And she, you know, is foreign. She's American and she's Japanese. She's got blonde hair and she's definitely a tsundere. Like, that's kind of her character type. So she's kind of abrasive and mean to generally everybody, but is secretly soft and shy and just doesn't know how to act, essentially. And Raku calls her the Gorilla Girl because she, like, drops in the middle of a dime and always resorts to violence, like, loud mouth and violent actions. So they're fighting back and forth. There's, like, no common ground between them. And you just think that that's what the series is going to be. Until they go back to, or rather, goes back to Raku, and he goes back to his house. And his father's like, I want to have an important conversation with you because there's been all these fights in our turf, in our area, and, you know, I figured out a solution for the problem. And he's like, an old buddy of mine is in town, and he has a daughter who's about your age, and we think if you guys, you and the daughter, fake a relationship, that, like, the lower level boys and stuff will not engage in fighting each other, because, you know, each faction's thugs are all really about the heir apparents, essentially. Like, they're very close, and they're, like, family, so, like, they don't want to upset the, card or anything. So he's like, you know, Raku is kind of really crushing on Onodera, and he's just like, I guess I kind of have to do it, you know, if it's going to keep the peace and stuff. And when he realizes who it is, like, he freaks out because it's that Chitoge girl. Yep. Who he wants nothing to do with. And she's like, I'm not going to do it. And of course, then when she sees Raku, she's like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to do it. And you know, all the other thugs show up from each faction, and they're like, oh, we thought the Yakuza stole our lady, so we came to get her back. And, you know, the Yakuza guys are like, we thought you came to rough up our boy, and, like, they're all ready to fight. And the two kids decide, okay, well, let's just say that we're dating so that they'll stop. So they're like, yeah, we're dating. Like, we're totally hot for each other, but no one's really believing it. And then they really start layering it on to try to make it look more and more authentic. And they realize that if they don't, they're both going to get seriously hurt, not to mention the factions. So if they don't already have the tension of that going on, there's that promise that keeps circulating from 10 years ago. So like I said, Raku's got this locket. And it's actually a pretty cool locket. I thought he was going to, like, transform, but he doesn't. And you think for a while that Chitoge has a key, but you never see one on her. But then all of a sudden you start seeing that Odendera is wearing, like, this chain, and then she's talking about this key. And as soon as that happened, I'm like, great. There are multiple keys, which means there's multiple girls, which means that this is a harem at the base of it. And it absolutely is. Even though these two girls are the main focuses for Raku, we are going to get other girls who are going to either come in as rivals or not really rivals to, like, throw some more vegetables in the pot, so to speak. I think the comedic timing is really, really strong. I giggle a lot. They haven't gone into anything super deep yet. Like, I thought we were going to see some tragic backstories with some of the characters yet, but they're playing it really light right now. And I'm about 10 episodes in. I've got about 4 more. I don't know if we're getting a second season of it or not, but I seriously kind of hope that we do, because I'd like to see them kind of venture into, like, why we don't see Raku's mom and why we don't see Chitoge's mom. And I want to know where everybody's keys, like, are all these kids at 5 years old walking around with these really expensive lockets and keys and just giving their hearts away, or what? Because it seems like everybody's doing it.
Like, evidently, it was a booming business.
Like, oh my god, buy a locket and a key and share it with that person that you'll probably never see again in your life. And, like, it's just, like, there's so much going on in the series.
And what'll really be bad is that all the locks are the same and all the keys are the same, so they'll open every locket.
Bum, bum, bum! Because Onodera's key has, like, a cross, like, in the key part. Like, not the handle part, but the thing that goes into the lock. And hers has, like, a cross in it. And Chitose's, or Chitoge's, looks like, I think it's like a star or something, and I think somebody's got like a moon and whatever. So I'm just like, all these 5-year-olds were like on some grass, just like,
I don't know. It's sounding an awful lot like the Humpty Key and the Dumpty Lock. That's just saying.
Like, oh no, the Dumpty Key and the Humpty Lock. We have to put. And there's a scene, and I want to say like episode 8, where, you know, Raku's like, you have a key, and to Chitoge, and she's like, yeah, but it probably doesn't fit. And I mean, I read my diary where I clearly say that I, like, offered, like, this boy this blah, 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 but, like, it's probably not you, and I wouldn't do anything anyway. And he's like, oh, yeah? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, why don't we just confirm it so we can be over with it? And for, like, a sheer minute, they're both either holding their locket and their key, and they're not making progress forward, which is, like, this big metaphor for, you know, sex, because, you know,
right,
you
can't, yep, yep,
can't have harem of the possibility of sex, right?
That's what's up.
And it totally reminded me of the, oh, no, the Humpty Key and the Dumpty Lock, and we have to put them together to save the world, and blah. And it was so much. So, I mean, from where I'm at right now, if they go into a second season, I'd love to see that happen. I'd probably give this a definite watch if you're running dry on things to watch. Granted, Crunchyroll's been really good about throwing a whole bunch of different variety of shows out there for people to digest. On the side note, Ninja, I finally watched the Defense Club anime that you told me I should check out.
Uh-huh. And?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Well, for one, the first few episodes, like, it took me 4. It really took me 4. Because, I mean, I'm a big fan, as I've already stated a million times over, of pretty transformation, like, anime. Like, I'm a big fan of Sailor Moon. Yeah. I was a fan of Madoka Magica. Like, and if you're going to poke fun of it, that's fine. Which, that's exactly what this Defense Earth Club anime does. Because, yeah, we have pretty transformations, but we have pretty boy transformations.
Yep.
They're all super gorgeous, for one. And they all appeal to a certain type. So you've got your Shota, who's your cute little blonde, who is just very naive about everything. You've got your cool womanizer, and I'm using air quotes here because he's totally for the dudes and just won't say it. You got your one who's obsessed with power and money, who's just kind of cold and logical. Then you've got the one who is like the mature one, because they make a whole episode about the fact that he looks older than everybody else, even though I don't think that. I mean, and then you've got his sidekicky guy, who's just kind of like an amalgamation of all of them, but doesn't really have any like standout traits.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they don't have one who's like outwardly angry. Like, I thought we were going to get a Raphael in the group, but we really don't. But they all play off each other well enough. I mean, I don't understand why they all have to have scepters. I mean,
because
I'm so used to battle groups like this, always having the leader have like this, because, you know, they're glumming off of Sailor Moon in a sense, even though the color schemes are a little off, because, you know,
because you can't blatantly rip off Sailor Moon.
I know you can't, but you've got your little guy who is essentially like the leader, because he's the one who does the love shower and the yeah
I know.
And like the fact that they always go to a bathhouse at the end.
Yep.
It's like, oh man, that was a good fight. Now let's go bathe. And they always are bathing together. And
yep.
And then the freaking bad guy group, like, it was, it's over the top. I mean, it's very refreshing. So like, if you're looking for something not too heavy, that's not going to hurt your brain, then you could totally watch this, because it has a very simple format.
It is a fantastic poke
at itself.
The absolutely. Pretty girl.
I mean, like, that whole
universe savior.
When they're sitting there, like, firing off these attacks, and their cute mascot, which is this cute pink wombat alien.
Yep.
And he's just like, can you guys stop screaming out random names? Like, they're all supposed to have purpose. Like, I spent a week coming up with these. And, like, they're all just like, random aqua splash! Or roaring thunder whatever. And they're all working, which is, that's the thing that makes it funny, is that They're not into it as much as they should be, and it's still executing.
Yes. And,
like, it's just
amazing taco surprise.
And exactly. It's, and it's like, this has nothing to do with tacos. But whatever. Yeah, that's Defense Earth Club. I mean, if you like looking at pretty boys who have pretty boy problems, which are really none outside of, oh, my friend's mad at me, but I can't say, like, I'm sorry. That one episode with the two good guys who are fighting because one of them is, like, being affected by one of the bad things. And, like, it's like, he's mad at me, but he won't talk to me. Like, that's such a girl problem. Like, dudes don't do that. Dudes are just like, I fucking hate you, bro. Let's duke it out. And, like, they fight, and then they grunt, and then they're like, okay, we're cool now. And, like, they do that whole, I'm mad at you, but we're going to stick together, and we're going to do this, and we're going to talk about it later. I'm like, no, that's still a very girl thing to do. Yep. Like, there were sometimes it worked really well, and then sometimes I'm like, these all could have just been girls, and then it would have made more sense. But
it's not supposed to make sense. It's poking fun at the whole genre.
Oh, but I want to pick it apart and put all the pieces in the right place, but I know that from my standpoint, it looks and feels wrong, but for what they were trying to do, it looks and feels right. It's kind of like the Melancholy of Suzumiya, where they did things out of order on purpose. Like, yes. It made it more interesting that way than watching it literally from the storyline and stuff. And, I mean, I loved that, but it took me a long time. And, I mean, it took me 4 episodes to really commit to, okay, I'm going to watch this and see where this takes me. And, I mean, I liked how it ended. It was, like, I liked that twist. It was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It just took me a while to get there to appreciate it. But, like I said, if you're looking for lighthearted fun, you're not looking to deeply dig apart something, then I would totally look up Defense Club. But Nisekoi, please give that a watch.
Yeah, Nisekoi is good.
I can't imagine someone walking away from that not liking it. And, I mean, if they make that locket in real life, I would buy it.
Yeah, it is cute. It is cute.
It's pretty awesome. But that's what I had. So that's me. I'm all done.
So yeah, so games are going really well, and so is the new season of anime. We'll have more stuff to talk about, not next week, because we have a clip show next week, because yep. Panda's on vacation.
Yep, I'm going away! I got to get away! I'm gonna drive in a car, because I don't like to fly!
No, you don't. At all.
I'm scared shitless about airplanes.
It's just science.
Yeah.
You're going wicked fast. It's just drag and lift, man. Drag and lift.
Sorry, I've seen way too many Looney Tunes commercials where things are...
No, it's not the Looney Tunes commercials that should make you not want to fly. It's the movie Flight with Denzel Washington. That should make me like, no.
I have nightmares of that movie because I've heard they flip the plane upside down.
Yeah.
And the pilots are all like doing drugs.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, and then the news.
And still, he pulls off an amazing move that only kills a few people versus killing everybody in the plane. And you're just like, aw. And he pulled that off while high and drunk. Like, imagine what would have happened if he had high and drunk.
Nope.
But still, you watch it, and that's basically, like, you have, like, the Lana Kane, nope, moment as, like, all that stuff's going on. I did not want to get on a plane for, like, a month after that movie.
Yeah, and the fact that you told me you even saw the movie, I'm like, nope, I get anxiety.
It's really good. Denzel's amazing in the movie, and it was based off of shit that happened, not, like, really, yes, like,
dude, you are not like making plane, the idea of getting on planes easier, look, for me, look, the more that you
when
speak
you think about
it.
How many accidents there are with planes every year versus how many accidents there are with, like, ground transportation, planes are mad safe.
Sorry.
Mad safe.
Nope.
Okay? As long as they just don't go disappearing.
Like, tell everybody in Germany, like that guy that just decided to end
it. That's just a crazy... Same thing would happen with a crazy guy driving a tractor trailer. Okay? Crazy people make bad decisions. And sometimes they take people with them. And that's really, really sad. But that's not the plane malfunctioning.
No, it's not a bad decision. Listening to our show.
That's right. So, we'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk more anime and more games. Especially as we get into May. And start, you know.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May. And we are gonna be talking about our lead into E3. Like, it's gonna start, guys. We got so much coming up. E3's jumping off. Structure's jumping in. We'll be kicking them off soon. So the family's getting bigger. So much new stuff coming your way. We're going to have some videos on Twitch soon.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's getting legit. Well, more legit than it was, because we were already too legit. Legit.
More legit to quit.
No quit. No quit. Well, maybe rage quit, because Bloodborne.
More legit to stick?
No, we're just too legit. We'll just leave it there.
We're more legit.
Yeah. Even more legit.
So much legit.
Yes, much, much legit.
Sounds like an evolution of a Pokemon, but anyway.
It does, kind of. But anyway, make sure that you're checking out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You'll find news and reviews there, all kinds of indie coverage. If you haven't checked out some of the stuff that our newest team member has been writing, then make sure that you jump on top of that. Because we are glad to have the monk with us. So make sure that you're checking out all the stuff on the website, electricsisterhood.com, including event live coverage will be there. So when we do jump into E3 stuff, you'll find it there first. You'll also find all of our AAA stuff and new pieces over at our partner website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Subscribe and make sure that the moment we put out new articles, you'll be notified so you can check them out, share them on your social. We love it when you pass our stuff around and talk with us about it. So make sure that you hit up those spots. Grab our podcast either on the Electric Sisterhood site or in iTunes, either on your desktop through the app or on your iOS device through the podcast app by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also find our podcast on Stitcher Radio. You can also find it in the Microsoft Store. Pretty much any place that you want to look for podcasts, you'll be able to find us. So make sure that you subscribe to the Eshcast. We love sharing our point of views and thoughts on games and anime and geeky things with you, and enjoy that you enjoy it. So make your morning commute even that much better by listening to the Eshcast. And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, we have a ton of podcast partners in our network. So make sure that if you're into anything indie, K-pop, anime, manga, just really cool theater, TV, whatever, that you're checking out No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homeboy KBD. You can find that at b3crew.com. You can also listen to Geek Aggro, which is a bunch of great EDM trap and amazing house music put together by a homeboy Deuces Wild at geekaggro.com. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. You can call in live, catch up on all of his recaps. He's doing a bunch of TV show recaps. If you are about Thrones, then you need to be about The Issues Guy at issuesprogram.com. And we're also on social. So we chat, we share all the stuff that we're reading that we find interesting. If it's nerdy, we're pretty much talking about it or sharing it either on Twitter or on Facebook. So check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, or our Twitter feed at at ESH News. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Tweet at us. Share questions. Let us know if there's something that you think that we should check out. And maybe we'll make it the topic of a podcast. And we'll give you a shout out and be like, user blah, 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 blah told us to check it out. So here's what we did. And here's what we thought about it. You could be like internet famous for like 30 seconds. That's way more longer than a tweet.
Oh, think about that. True that.
Think about that. So this is the point of the show where I turn to my sister and say, "Hey, yo, sis.
Yes.
What shit are you digging this week?
Vacation. What about you?
I am on my Janelle Monáe tip. I'm loving her new track, Yoga. I can't wait for the Ephes to come out, which is her EP with all of the Wonderland crew that she's put together for her label. So between Judea and Monáe, I am definitely getting my electric lady on. Like, ooh. I'm loving like the grown folk, young folk evolution that's happening. Like this neo funk R&B that's going on that she's bringing in. I'm digging it. I'm feeling it. I'm ready for it. So I'm like all about J Monáe and Yoga.
All right.
Make sure you check out the video. It's hot. You can't police me, so get off my areola.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, that's a line of the song.
Okay, all right. I will check it out.
With that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time.
Peace.